I'm in the little letter to the Colossian church. Colossians. We're in chapter 1. It's true, and I already had this verse written down on a piece of paper, that we have been invited by God to cast all of our cares or our anxieties upon Christ because he cares for us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Nothing too small. Cast your anxiety upon him. He cares for you. We don't always get the answer that we might desire, but God walks us through whatever it is that we're going through. Psalm 55 in the Old Testament says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. I want you to think for a second, and maybe you're there, or I'm sure you've been there, or know somebody that is there. When was the last time that you saw a brother, a sister in Christ who was discouraged, just kind of going through a spiritually dry time? They knew the Lord. They knew the Lord. It's just that they just didn't have that spark in their step from the freshness of the Spirit of God. Or maybe you're there yourself or have been there somewhat recently. We can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. But I want us to see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 this morning, that the apostle to the Gentiles, primarily, that was the apostle Paul, mentions to the Colossian believers that they have been prayed for ever since the day that Paul and his team had heard about their faith in Christ. And he had a very specific prayer, and it's just six verses, one of those Paul deals, six verses, just two sentences, but it really hinges on the first phrase of everything else hinges on the first phrase of the verse that's there, and we're going to take a look at that. Epaphras, just by way of reminder, had traveled over 1,300 miles on foot or donkey or ship from Colossae to Rome because of some concerns that will be addressed later on in this epistle. He came to know the Lord probably when Paul was in Ephesus, and then he was instrumental in the human instrument that God used to begin the church in Colossae. He went home, started sharing the Lord. There was a group of believers. And then he saw some things that were going on that didn't seem spiritually healthy and right. And so he took it upon himself. I'm sure the Spirit of God was leading him to pack up, go all the way to Rome, sit with Paul while he was in prison, let him know what was going on. Paul wrote this letter, and he took it back home and addressed the churches there. He traveled 1,300 miles. Once he'd arrived, he communicated to Paul, who was a prisoner at the time, about the Colossian believers' faith. And Paul said in verse 3, we looked at this last week, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. So Epaphras went, he let him know, hey, God has done something in Colossae. He started a church there. And Paul said, well, let's just start praying for him. And they started praying for him because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Their first response was to give thanks to the Father because those in Colossae had heard, and we talked about this last week, the process. They had heard the gospel, and then they understood the gospel, and then they engaged it with faith. Hearing isn't enough. It has to be understood and engaged in faith. It's the good news of forgiveness of our sin in Jesus Christ and becoming a part of his body. And then he tells them, Epaphras evidently tells Paul, Paul tells them what he's been praying for them. I mentioned six verses, two sentences about how they're prayed for. I want to read it right now, verse 9 through 14, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time on one phrase in verse 9. We'll look at the rest of it as well, though. And so from the day we heard of their faith in Christ, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, that's power-packed, isn't it? Tons of stuff in there. He has the second sentence. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Verse 9 says this, so from the day we heard that we heard of your faith in Christ, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If we were going to build a house this morning together, this would be the foundation. It's the foundation that all of the rest of those verses and phrases are built upon. That they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the reason we know that is because then he says, so that, and then he fills in the line with he fills in the blanks with all of the rest of the things that should come as a result of it. Once we heard of your faith, our prayer was this, and we want you to know that we have not ceased to pray for you, and we ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So let's just stop for a second. We heard already by testimony as well as I read the verse in Peter where God says, casting all of your cares upon me because he cares for us. And we can and we should and we do. This prayer is a very specific prayer for people that are young in the Lord, they're new converts, or they're walking through some sort of a dry time spiritually. We're just not on the cutting edge of where I should be spiritually. This is the prayer to pray. This is the prayer to pray for somebody that's going through extreme difficulty and needs the joy of the Lord and the Spirit of God working in their heart. It's on this phrase of that prayer that all of those other things hinge. The other things are important as well, but this one is the foundation, that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And because of that, I want us to look at just a couple of the words so that we can get a little bit of an understanding of some of the significance of this. I want us to spend some time on this phrase and define some of these words. The first part of this prayer affects the other spiritual dynamics that are mentioned later in the prayer. I might experience some of those other things if I'm not in that foundation mode, but it won't be consistent in my life. But if I have a good, strong, firm, healthy, spiritual foundation, then all of those other things can fall into place, and it can be consistent in my life. This is the foundation upon which the other parts of the prayer are built. Everything else rests on this phrase, being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We started praying for you guys as soon as we heard about your faith, and we want you to know we are not going to stop, we haven't stopped, and we're not going to stop. So if you know, or if you're going through some spiritual dry time, or you know somebody that's going through this spiritual dry time, or they're not who they are or should be in the Lord, or maybe they've never been who they are or should be in the Lord for lack of spiritual maturity, this is the prayer to pray. If you're going through a dry time, this is the prayer to pray. We can cast our cares upon him in anything and everything, and we do, but this is what's necessary when we're not walking in good sync with the Lord, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We've prayed that you be filled with that, not just that it's present from time to time in your life, and that can happen, but we've prayed that you be filled and overflowing with that. Filled and overflowing with the knowledge, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it isn't that you get it from time to time or when you go to church and you hear the word, but that this would be the norm, this would be the standard of your life. This is what is the norm, that you be filled with the knowledge, spiritual understanding of the Lord. Filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding. Filled, it means complete, fully convinced that we be filled. One commentator wrote of this word knowledge that it's not just knowledge, but it's got a prefix added to the word which intensifies the meaning of it as well. So it isn't just that I know intellectually, though don't divorce your intellect from spiritual life. It isn't that I just know intellectually, but there is an intensity of the knowledge that I have that I'm filled with that it takes it to a whole nother level. I don't just know about the Lord. I have an intensity in the personal relationship and the knowledge that I know the Lord with. Let me give you some verses of Jesus using this word. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's that kind of a knowledge, an intensity in the personal relationship knowledge of the Lord. I've got to know some facts. I need to be growing in my Bible. I need to be solid in my theology. I need to be teachable so that where I've been influenced and I'm wrong, it gets corrected by the truth of the Word of God. But it's not just in knowledge in our head and that alone. In John 8, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If I asked us, we would be able to communicate what it means to abide in his word. And we all know that it's a whole lot more than a 30-minute message on a Sunday morning. Or it's much, much more than reading a little devotional book during the days of the week. It's allowing God's word to penetrate my mind, to filter down to my heart so that it comes in and out of my life. It's abiding in the Lord. Peter said this, "Increasing in the knowledge of God is part of Christian maturity, something that all of us Christians should experience." He says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We have a little bit of a problem if you think about this. We're already filled with the knowledge and spiritual wisdom of the Lord, and yet we're challenged to grow. How can I grow if I'm already full? But yet that's what we're told to do. Be filled, it's overflowing, and continue to grow. God takes us through different situations in life. He takes us through different stages in life, and we're challenged, and we continue to grow in the Lord and grow in the knowledge of him, which is this intense knowledge of walking with the Lord. Knowing God and his truth isn't just head knowledge. Amen? Knowing God and his truth is not just head knowledge. And it can be so subtle that over a year and then 5 and then 10 and then 20 that I feel like I'm spiritually there and mature because I participate in some sort of a Bible study. Knowing God is much, much more than knowledge. Jesus said, "Abide in my word. Let it be part of who you are. Let it come out from you as well. Abide in his word." Knowing God and his truth isn't just head knowledge. It's included, but it's more. This knowledge penetrates our hearts and comes out of our life, or we don't actually have true knowledge that Jesus is talking about. I might know a lot of facts about God. I might know a lot of facts about salvation and eschatology. But if it's just knowledge and it's stuck there and it's not coming out of my life, that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Colossians is talking about. That's not what Peter was talking about. It's something that penetrates my life. Listen to how important it is in the New Testament. This is from Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Peter and his writings. "That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge." It's that word that's not head, but the intensity of the relationship, and it comes out of my life. That's 1 Corinthians. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." That's Ephesians chapter 1. Everywhere we look, it's over and over and over that it's written. Philippians says this, "It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that," and then he gives the "so that's" that happen. In Colossians, we're going to find, "to reach all the riches of his full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God, the mystery which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the truth, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Chapter 3, verse 10 of the same book, "have put on the new self, which being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Paul says in Romans 12 that we're renewed. It's a good place to put ourselves under the teaching of God's word. Not just Sunday morning, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But don't fall into the trap that because I participate in lots of Bible studies or I have lots of scriptural knowledge that I'm okay. It's not that kind of knowledge. If it stops here, it's not what Jesus is talking about. And we don't want to be there. We want to have the intimacy of a relationship with our Lord so that His Spirit is working through us and we're growing and challenged and walking in the Lord. And Paul said to these Colossian believers, ever since Epaphras came here and landed and told us about your faith in the Lord, we want you to know that we began praying for you then. We haven't ceased, and we're not going to cease to continue to pray for you that this may happen. And if you know somebody, and I know you know somebody, because I do, and I'm just like you are. We know people that go through dry times spiritually. I go through dry times spiritually. Maybe you're in one of those as well. There is a thing called spiritual battle. This is the prayer to pray. This is the prayer to pray, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. It's His will. It's what God does. Not how does it best serve me, that I be filled with the knowledge of His will, filled with the knowledge of His will, come to God, listen to this, not as a consumer, but come to God with open ears to allow Him to speak into our lives. And He always uses Scripture, and He uses the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God always agrees with Scripture as well. We need to have ears to hear both this and Him. Knowledge of His will in the most base things. We're not talking about secret, hidden things from God. We're talking about the base things, like 1 Timothy and 2 Peter talk about it's His will that a person be born again, that they recognize Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And if you're here this morning, it doesn't matter how religious you are or how long you've been in church, it's God's will that you be born again. If I don't do this, we're going to have a problem. You won't, I will. It's the base things about His will. It's His will that believers be filled with the Spirit of God, that the Word of Christ dwells in us richly. Those two are synonymous. Sanctification, or being set apart for Him, Romans 12 or 1 Thessalonians 4, is God's will. Submission to human institutions is God's will. And we're living in a day that that's being challenged, isn't it? And we can almost kind of roll up our sleeves and feel a little proud, but we need to remember God's Word says submission to human institutions is a big deal. Do we do what's contrary to God's Word so that we can submit to human institutions? No, but let's have integrity and make sure that we're not calling something contrary to God's will just because I don't like it personally. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter. Be subject for the Lord, for the Lord's sake. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or supreme, or to governors as sent by Him to punish those who do evil, to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, listen, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. It's the will of God in the base things of life. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. You know what? They had a worse situation when Peter wrote this and when Paul wrote things that were very similar than what we have in the United States. And yet what they said was, to every human institution, submit yourselves. It's the will of God. Don't go contrary to what God has said, but you be careful that you call the one what it really is. Suffering can be the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, giving thanks in all things is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, sharing with those in need is the will of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 and many other places as well. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. It's not secret and hidden. It's the things that God has spoken to us. And as I surround myself with submission and obedience to the things that I know of God's will, those things that might not be as easy to discern become easier to discern because I'm growing in the Lord and the Spirit of God is able to speak to my heart through the Word of God as well. Filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the name Sophia, the word Sophia, you can hear the root word in our word, philosophia. Philosophia. It's the same thing, only philosophy is a word that involves the core understandings in life. Why do I exist? Reasons and values. That's not what spiritual wisdom is, but it's a sophia. Here we have spiritual wisdom and understanding. A Bible dictionary defines it this way: practical spiritual skills associated with understanding and living a successful life. That the things that God teaches me from His Word, that I have the practical skills to be able to place those into my heart and in my life. For example, if I know somebody in need and I recognize that it's God's will that I share with those that are suffering and have need, wisdom would be simply me taking from what I have and giving to somebody who has need. That's spiritual wisdom. There isn't anything ooh-ah about it. It's just putting the practical truth of God's word into life. One man wrote this: believing submissive Bible knowledge leads to knowing God's will. When I read God's word, I rightly divide God's word, it's going to lead me to be able to discern what God desires. A mind saturated with such knowledge will also be able to comprehend general principles of godly behavior. With that wisdom will come understanding of how to apply those principles to the situations of life. That progression will inevitably result in godly character and practice, and God will be glorified. And Paul said, you Colossian believers, or we might extend you that are going through some sort of a dry time spiritually, it's just the joy of the Lord isn't there, you're just not on the cutting edge. We're praying that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As you learn a truth, it doesn't just stay in my head so that I can regurgitate it so that others recognize it as well, but it penetrates my heart, and in wisdom, that truth becomes practical and I learn how to do it. Filled with the knowledge of His will, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. All of this phrase is the foundation. The rest of what is written hangs on this foundation. If we don't have the strength of this foundation, we might occasionally hit it right. But if we have this strong foundation, we're going to see God working, and that's going to be the norm. It isn't that we can't fall or fail, but the norm is going to be that I'm strong in the Lord. He says, so that when you're filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, then the following dynamics can happen. When you don't have that strong foundation, you might stumble into spiritual success from time to time, but it won't be the consistent norm that it could be in our life. Can you see how this phrase of Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 should be really quick on our lips in prayer for people that are going through difficult times? Or for your spouse that's going through a difficult time? Or for your children that are going through a difficult time? Or for our own selves as we go through difficult times, that we be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's why in verse 9 is a very significant prayer for all believers, but especially for those who are young or new in the Lord or struggling. The results of being filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding are these. Let me just walk through them real quickly, and then we'll talk about them just briefly. A worthy walk, a fruitful life, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might, and being thankful. Those are, as well as endurance and patience and being thankful. That all hangs on being filled with the knowledge of His will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The results of being filled, one of them is a worthy walk. A walk worthy of the Lord. It means this. There are translations that say this. Fully pleasing Him. To please Him in all aspects of my life. That just sounds overwhelming, doesn't it? That I could walk a walk that would be fully pleasing to God in all aspects of my life. And if I think I have to roll up my sleeves and muscle that thing out and get my willpower in there, and I'm not saying don't use your will, but if I think that that's where that power comes from, I'm wrong and I'm going to fail. But when I recognize that it's a result of having that good, strong, firm foundation, that's when I can find success. A walk that's worthy to the Lord sounds impossible. In and of ourselves, it is impossible, but when we're filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, it is a completely different story. And I think that's synonymous with being filled with the Spirit, as well as allowing the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. It's a different story. The Thessalonian believers were instructed to walk worthy. Here the Colossian believers are instructed to walk worthy. The Ephesian believers heard the same message as well. Something very similar was written to the Philippian believers. The idea that I can walk worthy to the Lord by the grace of God, in the power of the Spirit, submission to his word, unto the Lord, is a possibility. Amen to amen. It's a spiritual dynamic that can happen when believers experience, verse 9, the foundation, which is the prayer request. Fully pleasing to him includes a fruitful life. A fruitful life. Being fruitful in every good work. Not so much that I'm trapped into the mindset that I have to bear fruit. I have to produce fruit. How can I bear fruit? How can I produce fruit? But it's the flow of being filled with the knowledge of him, and it just comes out of my life. Some of the fruit can be these things mentioned in Scripture. The fruit of influencing other people for Jesus Christ. This morning, a microphone went around, not lifting anybody up, not pulling anybody down. But this morning, a microphone went around and people had the opportunity of expressing to others a word of encouragement of how God's love for them has affected them. That's influencing other people with what God is doing in my heart and my life. That's one way. It can happen in the gas station when you hand out a tract or you speak something at a Thanksgiving dinner. Lots of ways, but influencing other people for Christ. The fruit of genuine spiritual worship is fruit. Genuine spiritual worship. It can happen at a concert, but you don't have to have a concert atmosphere for genuine spiritual worship to happen. I mean, we sang that last song, and I saw three or four people crying, and that's not always the demonstration of genuine spiritual worship, but sometimes it is that God is so working and moving in my heart and my life and I'm thinking about who he is and what he's done and how he's shown that he loves me and that he pursues me and that he's racing after me. Genuine spiritual worship. Genuine spiritual worship doesn't happen just because you like a song or you like a style. Genuine spiritual worship happens because in whatever the song is, you're genuinely enlarging, engrandecendo, you're magnifying God. Portuguese is coming out. That wasn't tongues, that's Portuguese. Let's move on. The fruit of giving of myself and my goods to benefit others and not letting anybody know. Nobody knows. And maybe you do that, nobody even knows. And God knows. And he's worshipped as a result of it. It's a fruit of being filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated in my life. Fully pleasing also includes increasing in the knowledge of God. And I already mentioned this. It's interesting that someone is filled with the knowledge of his will also needs to increase in their knowledge of God. And that when we stop and think about it, it is pretty logical. You've read your Bible through. If I ask how many people read their Bible through, probably the vast majority of us would raise our hands. But that doesn't mean you got everything. I mean, how many times have I read Colossians in my spiritual walk and life? And yet I go back and God uses it to grow me. It's increasing in the knowledge of God. You mean, Jerry, after 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years of being a believer, I can still grow in my knowledge of God? I would say this, if you're 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years old in the Lord and you're not growing in your knowledge of God, that is a huge warning sign that you're not walking filled with his Spirit and in submission to him. It's not increasing in your relationship of no. That would be a warning sign. Some evidences that I'm increasing in my knowledge of God would be this: enjoying his word more and benefiting from it. That doesn't mean that it's not a challenge for you to slow down and find the time and be still and know that he's God. But when I find the time or I make myself do it and I open his word, he speaks to me from it. Every time, all of the time. And there are some that would say, and whatever phrase or verse that's being used is God's word to me? No, it's all God's word to you, and there are times that there are phrases and verses that he uses. Enjoying his word more and benefiting from it is increasing in the knowledge of God. A growing love and devotion to my Lord. Knowing when I look in the mirror who I would be if I hadn't walked with him for 30 years because I knew the mess that I was in when I was 20. It just gives me a huge devotion to the Lord. Rather than becoming more proud, I should become more humble every day. Rather than thinking more about me and how things affect me, it becomes thinking about Christ and how I can be used by him to affect other people. I should be more aware of spiritual battles that are going on around me. My longing for this world diminishes, and my desire for his presence for eternity grows. Those are indicators that we're increasing in the knowledge of God, in our spiritual growth. Being fully pleasing to him also includes this, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I want to visit this one. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Notice the verb tense. It's being. It's always happening. It's present. Being strengthened with his power. It's present, but it's also, interestingly, it's a passive verb. So I'm strengthened with his power, but he's the one who's strengthening me with that power. And maybe I'm going through the spiritual disciplines that I should, and I should do those, but that isn't what gives me the power. It's God who does that, and I'm the passive receiver, and he's always continually strengthening me. God is doing it to me as I meet the conditions of being filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom, and spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's being strengthened with all power according to your great human will and intellect. Right? No, never. And yet we can think that. We can slide into thinking how critically important we are, and the insight that we have is just so tremendous. It's according to the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to your fantastic doctrinal understanding and belief. Right? No, it's being strengthened with the power of God according to his glorious might. Listen to this. The might of the one who spoke all the world and it came into existence. That's a lot of might. The might of the one who stopped the Red Sea for Moses and all the children of Israel to pass and then closed it up and swallowed Pharaoh and all of his soldiers. That's a lot of might. The might of the one who slew the Philistines and sent them running with just Jonathan and his armor bearer. Two men against a whole nation. God's pretty mighty. We could go on and on and on. The might of the one who freed Judah and Benjamin after 70 years of exile, just like he said he was going to do. Or the might of the one who impregnated a virgin with the Son of God. Or the might of the one who caused him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Or the resurrection. Or the Spirit of God. Or the explosion of the church with just common, regular old fishermen. That's a mighty God. And it's according to his might that we're strengthened. But listen to this. If we don't get the foundation of verse 9, we might occasionally touch on that, but it's not as consistent as it could be and should be in our life because we don't have that good, strong foundation. And that strong foundation is being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's a critical prayer request. There's a lot that hinges on this thing. I mean, this prayer request fits everybody in all of life, all of the time, if we know the Lord. That's a glorious might that strengthens you with all power. As we meet the qualifications, he's the one who does the strengthening. And he does it for all endurance and patience and long-suffering with joy. Why are we strengthened with all power according to his glorious might? For endurance and patience and long-suffering, a word that's used in reference to difficulties. So the reason he strengthens me, because I'm grounded with spiritual wisdom and understanding, is so that his might can strengthen me as I go through the difficulties of life, like spiritual dry times, or people that you love not being who they ought to be, should be, or you not being who you ought to be, should be. the difficulties that each one of us face. They're different for every one of us, and yet they're kind of similar. God gives us the ability to endure with patience and joy while being thankful at the same time. This isn't a teeth grinding, I'm going to get through it endurance. It's a, and I have the joy of the Lord getting through this also. And so if we're doing that teeth grinding thing, we're probably not tapping into the power that the Spirit of God has for us. And we got to go back to that verse 9 prayer and pray it for our own selves as well. The last spiritual dynamic mentioned as being a result of being filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding is an attitude of being thankful. Thankful to the Father, and then He tells us why. Because He's qualified you, us, in Christ, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. God has, as a child of God, God has qualified you, put your name there, to share in the inheritance with Isaiah and David and Jeremiah. And we could list other people or go through church history and list people as well. God's qualified you to be a partaker of that. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Isn't that really cool? We're going to see Habakkuk one of these days. You read his book? He might ask you, hey, did you ever read my book? Another reason we ought to be thankful to the Father, He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. And some of us walked darker. I never can get through it. Some of us walk darker than others. But don't you dare think that because you didn't walk as dark as others, that you weren't dark. He's transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. It's like, Jerry, I'm going to take you, and you put your name in there, and I'm going to take you out of this world, and I'm going to, transfer you into the kingdom of my Son. And that's where He wants me functioning. In Him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. That's pretty solid grounds for being thankful, isn't it? Verse 9, memorize it, become familiar with praying for it, for the people around you. Paul said he had not ceased to pray for the Colossian believers that they be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, enjoying all the spiritual benefits that flow from that. It'd be a good prayer for you and I to learn as well. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, we do bow before You. Thank You for Your goodness. We're all in different places in life. And yet this verse 9 just seems to be a solid prayer that we could pray for other people all of the time. And that doesn't mean we don't pray about sickness and COVID and all of the stuff that was talked about this morning, but that we're quick, that this prayer of being filled with the knowledge of Your goodness, of Your spiritual will, that we're filled with the knowledge of Your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May that be just uppermost in our mind, so that we can experience and enjoy the benefits of who You want us to be in Your Son, transferred into the kingdom of Your Son. And we thank You for that. Lord, I ask that You would, as the worship team comes to lead us in this last song, that You would have Your way in the heart of every single person here. And if someone needs to do business before You, may they be quick to come and bow their knee before You in humility and cry out to the Lord. If it's a piano player, if it's a sound person, we'll move along. May every single one of us be open to what the Spirit of God is doing in our heart right this second. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.